Basingstoke, 1948.
Hey, Mike! What? I'll race you.
Two boys ice skate and another reads.
Oh, be careful! Don't slip! Come on, faster!
One boy, Pete, suddenly stops.
Mike!
The ice breaks beneath him.
Pete
frantically struggles to swim to the surface. Robbie, the boy reading, jolts up while Mike rushes to help. Mike tries to grab Pete's clothing. Mike loses his grip. And frozen Pete sinks further down into darkness. Julia McKenzie, Agatha Christie, Marple. A dark bedroom is lit by a bedside lamp. A pair of ice skates hang over a chair at a desk, with a chessboard and a black and white photo of a football team. Dressed in his pyjamas and sat at an open window looking out into the cold night, Mike is smoking.
In my end is my beginning. That's what they say, isn't it? My end. My beginning.
I miss him so much.
When I chat with Robbie Heyman, remembering Pete and talking about our plans for the future.
I can't tell you how grateful we are.
I didn't do anything.
You risked your life.
Anyone would have done the same.
Robbie turns to Mike.
You're the best friend in the world, Mike. More than a friend.
Come on, mate.
One day, I'll repay you. Something really special.
Well, when I first saw Ellie, insubstantial as a dream.
A slim woman wrapped in a long red coat with blonde and wavy shoulder-length hair turns her delicate face to Mike. Endless Night, based on the novel by Agatha Christie. Kingston Bishop, 1956. An advert announces the auction of the property Gypsy's Acre. An older Mike dressed in a chauffeur's uniform reads it.
Are you thinking of buying?
Oh, it's out of my league, I'm afraid, madam.
Just passing through, are you?
Yes, madam.
Working, I imagine.
Driving an old couple around.
Yes, sir. It is such a lovely corner of the world, don't you think, Mr...
Rogers?
Marple, Jane Marple. I'm not from these parts either. I'm just staying with an old friend who's recently lost her husband. Oh. One can find it all too easy to lose touch.
I'm sure one can, madam.
There's really no need to call me madam.
Oh, no, sorry, madam. That's there I go again.
Yes, this is an unhappy house, one hears.
In what way?
I'm not the person to ask, Mr. Rogers, but they do say that the gypsies have put a curse on it.
Now, why would they go and do a thing like that?
Well, it's all superstition, of course. The locals take it very serious. My old friend Marjorie, she insists on a brisk walk before luncheon. It's so nice to meet you, Mr. Rogers.
Miss Marple?
Oh, Marjorie! I've just met the sweetest one.
A gypsy's curse. That was a new one. So I thought I'd take a peek.
Amongst the rolling hills covered with trees, a lonely moss-covered mansion stands forlorn.
It wasn't a ruin I was looking at. It was my destiny. Gypsy's Acre. I'd knock it down. Build the most fantastic house, and there you'd have it. My future. Michael Rogers, country squire. Sounded good to me.
Mike strolls through the woodland. A limping figure with a long cape and headscarf approaches.
What are you up to?
It's an elderly woman.
Just having a look.
Thinking of buying?
Yes.
He passes her.
Chauffeur, are you?
He turns to her.
That's right.
Best foot forward, Jane. The sooner we finish, the sooner we eat.
Jane Marple's a few feet behind the marching Marjorie. She slows down as she hears voices.
I'd like to think so. About Gypsy's Acre, you don't.
What's there to know? Go on. Tell me. What happened there?
The last owners died. All of them.
How?
You're out of your depths, honey. Go back to Mummy.
Tell me.
Read your palm for sixpence.
Go on then.
Marple discreetly watches in the distance. Mike drops a coin into the old woman's outstretched palm. She observes his palm and looks up in horror.
Gonna be rich, Emma.
every night and every morn. Some to misery are born. Every morn and every night, some are born to sweet delight.
Sixpence for that. You're having a laugh.
Some are born to sweet delight.
Some are born to endless night.
Confused Marple sees the woman limp away from Mike. Evening. Sitting with a pint, Mike smokes in a quiet and dimly lit pub.
But I had to put my dreams of Gypsy's Acre on hold and return to London. Turn my hand to lots of things, but never stuck at them. But I'm lazy and just sort of restless. All that war stuff, austerity. Know your place. Time for a change, I reckon.
After a passionate night with a female stranger, he wanders down a town street.
Then one day, time to kill, I found myself in Bond Street, so thought I'd do a bit of window shopping. And something caught my eye.
He approaches a shop window and gazes at a painting with circular shapes.
Now, he seemed a nice enough bloke, so I popped in and asked the price. $25,000. I needed a stiff one after that.
Thanks, man.
Mike turns his attention to the coughing man at the bar. They stare at each other in recognition.
Robbie.
An architect?
Yes.
Always did have a bit of artistic bent.
What have you been up to?
What haven't I been up to? Stable boy, fruit picker, waiter, lifeguard.
Lifeguard?
I was a chauffeur for a while. Driving these pompous old gits around here and on the continent. Stinking rich they were. Forever looking down their noses. But I was nice as pie.
I can imagine.
Always ended up with a whacking great tip. That's a nasty cough you got there.
I'm not too clever.
You should get that scene too.
I haven't forgotten, you know.
What?
Trying to save Pete.
Oh, that was ages ago.
Mike spots an attractive woman passing by.
Get a load of that.
Robbie doesn't notice her.
I could build you a house. I know exactly what you like.
And do you know exactly how much I got in my post office savings?
Born poor doesn't mean you have to stay poor.
Good old Robbie. Ever the romantic.
I'm serious.
It's a dream, mate. It's just a dream.
The same auction advert as before reads Albert North over auctioneers.
So, to the gentleman at the back. Now, ladies and gentlemen...
We can't keep you away, can we?
Oh, afraid not, Miss Martin.
Day off, is it?
I've moved on.
Oh, I was wondering where that smart uniform had gone.
I'm just a humble barman now.
Marple silences herself. She looks up at Mike.
Gypsy's Acre's still casting its spell, though.
Well, the trouble is, when I want something...
Oh, everyone has to be tenacious these days. All a little cut and thrust for my liking.
The house didn't get sold, so I decided to take another look.
Mike climbs over a fence in the woodland with a sign reading, Gypsy's Acre, private property, no trespassing. Mike is an attractive slim man in his 20s. He has a chiselled face and dark hair with a side parting.
And that's how I came to meet Ellie.
It's the slim blonde-haired woman wrapped in the red coat. She stares out into the fields. She turns her pale face to Mike. She's embarrassed and immediately looks away.
Sorry. I wasn't expecting to,
That's quite all right. I wasn't expecting to meet anybody either.
Mike's blue eyes gaze upon the woman. He looks out to the fields.
Such a lonely spot. Sort of scary.
He looks to Gypsy's Acre.
Old ruins can get you like that.
It's up for auction today.
I've just come from there as it happens.
Do you know if it was sold?
Didn't meet its reserve.
She nods and looks out. He continues gazing at her.
Are you thinking of buying?
No.
I can't think of anything better.
It's rather decrepit.
Oh yeah, but you pull it all down. Build something really special.
They both look towards the lonely mansion.
And a view. What? If you cleared all this away, then... voila. A beautiful jewel. A house for lovers.
She smiles and looks to the fields.
So I told her about Robbie and how we'd dreamt of the future. How I'd tried to save his brother's life and how he'd offered to repay me.
I think he's consumptive.
Oh, but that's awful.
They continue walking.
I'd like a house like that. build out of love.
She coyly smiles.
What's your name?
Mike. Mike Rogers.
Fenella Goodman. But my friends call me Ellie.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Ellie.
The elderly woman with the headscarf approaches them.
You're not welcome here.
What are you playing at?
This is Gypsy's land, and they drove us off.
I thought it was up for sale.
Bad luck will come to whoever buys it. There's a curse on this land. Clear off if you know what's good for you.
This is Mrs. Lee. She gets money out of people by telling their fortunes.
I know things, young lady. It'd be wise for you to know.
All right, then.
Ellie takes out a coin.
Amaze me.
She pays Mrs. Lee, who grabs her hand.
What do I see?
She looks up shocked. This unnerves Ellie.
What is it? What's wrong?
Forget this place. Forget you ever saw it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Go where you're loved. Where you're cared for. This isn't the place for you.
Mrs. Lee throws the coin down, leaving Ellie spooked.
Something happened up there, didn't it? That's why it's going cheap. What was it, Mike?
They're seated in a cafe.
Tell me.
Apparently, the people that live
there... They all died.
Marjorie with Marple.
It was a murder. A man and his wife and another man. The husband shot the other two and then shot himself.
Wasn't there some doubt about the verdict?
No doubt at all. It was all perfectly true.
Marjorie, you're frightening the poor girl.
No, I want to know.
That place is cursed.
Jane Marple, by the way.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm forgetting my manners. This is Fenella Goodman.
Philpot, Marjorie, widow.
Staring at Ellie, Marjorie takes a bite of her pastry. Mike turns back to a wide-eyed Ellie seated across from him.
We met a few days later in London. Ellie had mentioned it was her 21st in a few weeks' time. So I thought I'd show her I meant business. Happy birthday.
He presents a ring. She kisses his cheek.
Chalk and cheese. That's us.
How do you mean?
Well, you're rich, and I'm not. I gradually got to know more about her. Her parents were dead, and she couldn't stand her stepmother. She told me she could never do what she wanted and made out that money wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Don't you have any friends?
I've got one. Greta.
Huh?
A sort of chaperone. She's a godsend.
What's she like?
Oh, she's marvellous. And she's beautiful, too.
Was it Greta who suggested you go to Gypsy's Acre that day?
I'm allowed some secrets, aren't I? Oh, I can't wait to be 21. After that, I'll be able to do what I like.
Don't you think I ought to meet your family?
Oh, but they've made such a fuss. Can we go on as we are?
That's what you want?
It's just so nice to have somebody one can make believe with.
And we did a lot of that.
Mike reads a letter.
Then she was gone. Whisked off to the south of France by her family to celebrate her 21st birthday. But I couldn't settle. I called the auctioneers and heard that Gypsy's Acre had been sold. All those dreams all come to nothing. And I decided to see my mum.
In a small two-story terraced house in a lounge, a woman lays tea on a table.
So what have you been up to?
Listen, that.
The usual, then.
How have you been?
About the same.
Mike sits at the table. After pouring tea for them both, the mother takes her cup and sits on an armchair away from Mike. He helps himself to sugar.
You have many jobs since I last saw you?
Mike rises from his seat.
4 or 5.
And what are you doing now?
He gets some biscuits.
I'm a chauffeur.
No, you're not.
What do you mean?
You threw in the towel, went sick. Dumped your clients on the continent or wherever.
How do you know that?
Firm rang me, wanted your address. Why didn't you report to them when you got back?
I had other fish to fry.
What's happened?
He dunks his biscuit.
Nothing.
Something has. I can tell.
You know all about me, don't you?
I know when you're up to no good.
Ignoring his mother, he busily chomps on his biscuit.
A girl, is it?
In a way.
What kind of girl?
The right kind.
Am I going to meet her?
No.
She smiles.
You're worried I'd disapprove.
Annoyed, he closes his eyes.
I wouldn't pay attention if you did.
Oh, but you would, Michael. You take notice of me. You always have. I'm the only person who really knows you. What is it you want?
She looks at him expectantly. He rubs his thumb and index finger.
Nothing.
You always want something.
Money.
She looks up in his direction.
To spend on her?
For a suit. Let's get married him.
She scoffs and rolls her eyes.
You're going to marry her.
He looks offended. After some thought, he then slightly smiles.
If she'll have me.
She reflects on his words, then looks away. In Mike's old bedroom with the chessboard still on his desk, the mother climbs the stairs to the entrance of the room. She sees Mike looking out of the window with the sunlight shining on his face. She stares at him with her fingers interlaced.
Never coming back, you know. Never. After Ellie got back, there was a confidence about her I hadn't seen before.
And do you know that I love you?
Of course I do.
So, what are we going to do about it?
We're going to get married and then live in a house on Gypsy's Acre that Robbie Heyman will have built for us. That's what you want, isn't it?
But Ellie, I don't know how to tell you this.
What?
Gypsy's Acre's been sold. So sorry. What's so funny?
The look on your face, silly boy. I know it's been sold. I'm the person who's bought it.
Right. Mike and Ellie walk in daylight.
My lawyer set the whole thing up, ready for me to sign. As soon as I came of age.
You got lawyers?
Of course.
What about the deposit?
Mike, I have a lot of money.
You told me.
But I mean a lot.
They make their way to the Red Lion pub. Mike holds the door open for Ellie. They sit with Robbie and talk over a drink.
So I've spoken with my lawyers, and all it needs is for your say-so.
I think you're missing the point, Miss Goodman. This is not a business deal. It's a personal gesture of gratitude.
And with your talent and my money, we can see it come to fruition.
This isn't exactly how I imagined it.
How do you mean, Robbie?
Would you be happy with such an arrangement?
Of course I would. Because of Ellie, we can actually have what we'd only dreamt of.
And you always get what you want. Don't you, Mike?
So how about it, Mr. Heyman?
Robbie looks from Mike to Ellie.
As you wish.
Good.
Ellie shakes Robbie's hand.
Mike?
Mike holds out his hand and Robbie shakes it.
It so happens that I have drawn some preliminary sketches.
You haven't seen the site yet?
Well, I popped down one weekend. Best be prepared, I thought.
Raring to go. I like that.
You're in love with a house that might never have been built.
Robbie opens a large sketchbook and looks at Mike.
Is this something that might capture your heart?
They gaze upon the sketch. It's a smart cubist house raised above the ground with full-length windows and a staircase from the balcony.
That's it.
Robbie smiles at a gobsmacked Mike.
That's absolutely it.
Ellie sits closer to Mike.
Yes. Yes, it's perfect.
You sound terrible.
I am.
You're very brave.
He looks at Ellie seriously as he sits.
When something is certain, there's nothing to be brave about.
The couple sympathetically react.
It gives me the strangest feeling of power. If I'm going to die anyway, I can do what I want. I mean, what's to stop me from robbing a bank? Even shooting someone? What's to stop you from walking down the street and shooting anyone I choose? Think of that. Firing at random, shoppers dropping like flies.
Well, they'd hang you.
If I hadn't died first.
They stare seriously at Robbie.
A heady proposition. Don't you think?
Robbie stares at Mike. Evening. Ellie wanders around Mike's tiny bedsit.
Oh, this is it.
Ellie made me give up my job. But before giving up my bedsit, she was determined to spend a night there.
Ellie approaches Mike and kisses him.
How the other half lives, I suppose.
Later that night in bed, Ellie is snuggled up to Mike.
Robbie's kind of odd, isn't he? Sort of frightening.
He didn't seem very frightened.
The way he looked at me.
What way was that?
Ellie looks up at Mike.
He didn't warm to me. What? That's all.
I didn't notice.
Then I expect he didn't notice the way he looked at you.
What? It's what archetypes do. They take everything in.
I don't mean that.
Then I don't know what you mean.
Mike's deep in thought.
Supposing when he's built the house, he came in after us, closed the door and...
She gravely looks into the distance.
And cut our throats.
Mike looks down at Ellie as he hugs her.
Where did that come from?
She snaps out of her thoughts.
Perhaps it's all the talk of a curse.
Hey.
She looks at him.
Trouble is, I dream too much.
As he kisses her, Mike turns Ellie and lies her back on the bed.
Dream of this.
Ellie opens her eyes and is lying on a bed of leaves wearing a V-neck jumper. Mrs. Lee suddenly tries to grab her neck. She strikes Ellie's temple with a stone, making her fall over a cliff edge into a quarry lake. Ellie jolts up from her sleep. With her trembling hand, she feels her head. Mike sleepily turns to her.
What is it, Ellie? What happened?
That gypsy woman.
What about her?
I saw her.
You were just dreaming.
She turns to him. They both lay down.
Mike.
Seeing her wide-eyed and anxious, Mike strokes her face.
She's really got to you, hasn't she?
He kisses her forehead and shifts closer to her.
Look, if you think we should live somewhere else...
She hesitates to speak, but then gives a determined look.
No. No, I want to live there. Gypsy's Acre is mine, ours. And that's how I want it to be.
She strokes his face and they lovingly kiss. Daytime. Mike is in a smart suit and Ellie is wearing a white dress. Mike puts a ring on her left hand.
And so we got married in a suburban registry office, all arranged by the beautiful Greta. We did the grand tour for our honeymoon and ended up in Rome.
The newlyweds descend a staircase surrounded by grand marble statues and murals.
Family's gonna be hopping that.
And they'll be down on us like a cloud of vultures.
I'm a big boy. I can take it.
They'll probably try to buy you off, although they wouldn't put it so crudely.
You mean I could trade you in?
If the fancy took you. My stepmother, Cora, has been married 4 times. I made a fortune out of it. Of course, I rather hope you won't trade me in.
To kill for a decent pint. Probably won't be too happy with Greta either.
She won't mind. She's tough.
Want to stop her getting another job?
She won't need to. She'll be coming to live with us.
No, she won't.
What do you mean?
I mean I don't want anyone living with us.
But I don't know what I'd do without her. We wouldn't be married if it weren't for her.
I won't have her interfering.
You haven't even met her yet. And keep your voice down.
Yeah, I know I haven't.
Ellie looks concerned.
Don't we want to be by ourselves? In our own house? Isn't that what you want, Ellie?
Oh, my darling. Darling Mike.
They kiss in the middle of the lobby. Stepping out into the sunshine, Mike stops.
What are they doing here?
Getting up from their table are Marple and Marjorie.
Mr. Rogers.
Miss Marple.
Marjorie's Mr. Rogers.
Who?
Well, you know, the young man that we had tea with at the George.
Fancy seeing you here.
Oh,
And Miss Goodman.
Oh, yes, Goodman.
Well, what a coincidence.
Isn't it, though?
Well, Marjorie has always wanted to visit Rome.
But the Major couldn't abide Italians.
And it is so entrancing this time of year.
You're Cora Van Stuyvesant's stepdaughter, aren't you?
Yes.
The penny suddenly dropped after I'd met you in the village.
You know her, then?
I do, as it happens, although I can't say I like her.
Oh, Marjorie.
Very few people do.
What a small world.
You were curious about that miserable pile, Gypsy's Acre, as I recall.
That's right.
Well, you might be interested to hear that it's been sold. Good riddance.
I know. I bought it.
Oh, I see.
Marple looks to Mike.
We've been wondering who had.
So it won't be miserable for much longer.
Does Cora know?
She hasn't a clue.
You surely don't intend living there alone?
Oh, no. I'll be living there with my husband.
I didn't know you had one.
Well, now you do.
Mike draws proud Ellie closer.
And what's more, we're on our honeymoon.
Good gracious.
Congratulations.
Cora didn't say.
Cora doesn't know.
Mike and Ellie walk by Marple and Marjorie.
As you will now.
Right. News articles read Goodman girl on the run in Europe, an oil heiress's secret marriage.
As soon as we got back to England, the vultures descended. First, we got a grilling from the family lawyer, Lippincott.
In a mansion lounge, Ellie reads.
On the run? I was doing no such thing.
Ah, what did you expect?
If I'd done it any other way, there would have been the most frightful fuss.
The people who care for you were bound to be a little agitated.
Cora doesn't care for me. And if you think of it, Uncle Andrew, I've saved everybody a lot of trouble.
Others might say you've been very deceitful. Aided and abetted by someone who should have known better.
Greta only did what I asked her to.
She abused her position.
You mustn't blame Ellie, sir. It was easier for Greta rather than me to get in touch with you all.
So, do you propose to live in this house you're building, Ellie?
Of course I do.
Ellie's a British subject now, sir.
Fenella can live in any country she chooses. She has properties all over. Now, if you wouldn't mind excusing us for a minute, my dear, I would like to have a little word with this husband of yours. I am so glad you're safe.
Ellie goes to kiss Mike. Lippincott looks slightly uncomfortable as Ellie does so.
I trust you don't mind me speaking frankly, Rogers.
Call me Mike. Now we're family.
She's a delightful girl, and in some ways, very, very vulnerable. You're not the kind of man I should have wished her to marry. As her guardian and a trustee of her affairs, I would have preferred someone of her own set. But that horse for now has bolted.
Well, this horse has no intention of bolting, sir. In it to the finishing line. That's me.
Best intentions are as good a start as any, I suppose.
I'm nothing, sir. Nobody. My dad was a drunk and my mum slaved to get me an education. If I'm honest, I think I was always a bit of a disappointment to her. She won't accept that I want to get on. But since I met Ellie, for the first time, life looks bright.
And this house that you're building?
Oh, it's going to be a gem, sir. A mate of mine, Robbie Hayman's, designed it. Very up-and-coming, so they say.
Yeah, but not very well, I gather.
You know him?
Dying, in fact.
You people certainly do your homework.
It's very impressive. I saw it yesterday, and I also spoke to the solicitor who oversaw the purchase. He told me that it was acquired at a remarkably low price. But he did not advance an opinion as to why that was.
It's got a curse on it. Sir, a gypsy's curse.
Well, now I've heard it all.
Shall I get Ellie back in?
One more thing, Rogers. Greta Anderson. I presume you've met her.
No.
Well, I am surprised. Was she not at your wedding?
No, she wasn't.
That is odd. Very odd. And Ellie hasn't suggested that you meet her.
Once or twice, maybe. But I don't want to share her with anyone.
Quite right.
Mike lights a cigarette.
I don't think that Greta's companionship is particularly desirable.
Evening in the lamplit lounge.
You gave us the most terrible shot marrying so secretly.
Cora, Ellie's stepmother. She was a two-faced bitch.
But of course, we all know it was that Greta woman put you up to it.
Ah, Greta. What a girl.
Frank Stanford, another of Ellie's trustees. He's a fishy customer.
I can just see her in one of those Hamburg bars and heels and leather. You know what I mean?
And even touch me for a few quid.
I hope you're behaving yourself, Frank.
As good as gold.
Incorrigible.
We don't want you corrupting that poor boy.
Mike smiles at Cora.
If only we'd known how very charming Michael was going to be.
Ellie had generously raised her allowance, which Cora knew would be stopped if she didn't behave herself.
Won't you all join us for dinner?
Well, very kind of you, my dear. But I think we all must get back to town.
Ellie sighs with relief.
So, will Fräulein Greta be moving in with you?
I don't think so.
You might change your mind when you see her.
Mike's not impressed. Ellie looks unconcerned. Later that evening at a restaurant with the newlyweds. A slender, bare-shouldered blonde in a figure-hugging dress.
The happy couple. Greta!
Ellie rises and kisses Greta.
Greta? Meet Mike.
Nice to meet you.
Mike smiles at her.
Were they too ghastly?
They gave me the sack.
So what will you do?
Oh, I've got a job lined up in London.
But are you all right?
Darling, how can I not be with that lovely check you've sent me?
You deserve every penny.
The girls hold hands.
Has the cat got your tongue?
He's strong and silent, aren't you, darling? Like no one you've ever met.
That does sound exciting. Pass me the pepper, darling.
Mike freezes, then passes the pepper.
I can't wait for you to see our house.
I saw it first day I got back to England. Thank you.
That architect, what a clever young man.
You must meet him.
I already have. I must say he looks as if he will give up the ghost at any minute.
I can't wait for us to move in.
That would be quite soon by the look of it. So, Mike, tell me, what do you think of Ellie's so-called family?
He looks to Ellie.
Well,
leeches all, believe me.
They'll go away soon enough, darling.
Let the poor boy speak for himself.
Ellie smiles. Mike is holding a condiment pot.
This gift. It's very thoughtful of Miss Marple. What a sweet lady she is.
Ellie holds a horse figurine.
Yes.
Lying on his lap, Ellie looks nervous.
You do like Greta, don't you?
Mike looks down at Ellie.
Of course I do.
I couldn't bear it if you didn't. You hardly said a word.
I hardly got the chance.
And when you did, you hardly looked at her.
Ellie looks disappointed.
I was nervous.
Why?
She's quite awesome, you know? Like a Valkyrie.
Mike, that's a terrible thing to say.
Mike looks seriously at Ellie.
I just wish that...
Ellie looks up at Mike.
Well, I wish that you weren't quite so dependent on her.
She sadly looks away.
Suppose I'm a little bit jealous.
Silly boy. It's true. She meant everything to me. Till you came along.
He reflects on her words and gradually smiles at her. He then lowers his head and they tenderly kiss. They rub their noses together. Daytime. A wet day in the woodlands and the rain slightly patters on the leaves. As they are busily chatting and strolling, Ellie has her arm looped in Mike's. They enter through a small clearing in between two trees. They slow their pace and look up. In front of them is the exact replica of Robbie's sketch of their cubic house, in the spot where the old moss-covered mansion was standing.
Oh, Mike.
Ellie is excited and amazed at the sight. They head towards the house happily hand in hand. As they approach the front door, Mike stops and looks round.
Robbie? Robbie!
Said he'd be here.
It's open.
Ellie pushes the door and Mike enters.
You're supposed to carry her over the threshold.
Where were you hiding?
Robbie, it's beautiful.
You're a genius.
Mike gratefully shakes Robbie's hand.
Here's to our new life.
Mike kisses Ellie and picks her up. He stumbles.
Let's hope you haven't started as you mean to go on.
Robbie opens some large double doors.
I'll show you around.
They open into a huge polished wooden floored room with full-length windows overlooking the woodland.
Do you like it, don't you?
It's wonderful.
You do, don't you, Mike?
Of course I do.
Mike smiles at Robbie, who in turn nods and smiles back.
Take care. There are bad people out there.
Robbie is seated in his car.
Thanks, Robbie. Promise kept. No more, no less.
Robbie nods to the couple and drives off.
For a moment, I thought you might be losing it. Then I put it down to the medication.
The couple go back into their house with arms around each other. They have a picnic inside.
Well, at least he didn't cut our throats.
He is a bit creepy, though. Don't you think?
He's not very well.
I haven't a clue what he was talking about.
Artistic temperament or something. Anyway, we got what we want. We're safe now. Who the hell did that?
As glass shatters into Ellie's face, Mike runs up to the broken window.
No one.
Ellie looks in shock at her hand.
Sweetheart.
He inspects her face.
It's just a tiny cut. Just a little sliver.
Why would anyone do that?
Probably local lads.
There's something else, Mike. Something we don't know about. They want to drive us away.
Of course they don't.
That gypsy woman was right.
She's crazy. She should be locked up.
We've done exactly what she told us not to.
No one will drive us away. Do you understand? No one.
Papa loves Mambo. Place.
Ellie insisted on a housewarming. I couldn't think of anything worse. We'd hired staff regimented by a recently acquired manservant, Winslow. He'd been recommended by Andrew Lippincott. The family tentacles spread wide. And Ellie was convinced he was there to spy on us.
Ooh. Marjorie helps herself to hors d'oeuvres served by Winslow. Marple stands by Mike.
She does love her food.
Perhaps she's compensating for her loss. Do you know who those two are?
Oh, yes, that's Dr. Shaw. Somewhat of the old school, Marjorie says. Doesn't dispense pills like sweeties. And the young lady is Claudia Hardcastle. Very keen on horses.
Well, she and Ellie should get on. Ellie loves riding.
Her husband was a rich American. Stanford, I think his name was. But it failed at the first hurdle.
Cora swans in wearing a long dress.
Cora then stops. She is a little overbearing, isn't she?
Ellie daintily kisses Cora.
Did you know that she's looking for a house around here?
Now that is bad news.
Mike watches Ellie and Cora talk.
You're a fount of knowledge, Miss Marple.
Marjorie likes to keep her ear to the ground.
I wish I could talk to my mum like I talk to you.
Greta struts in wearing an elegant dress and a feather boa.
I don't think Kingston Bishop has ever seen anything quite like that before.
Why, Greta, you look like something out of a burlesque.
They give each other sarcastic smiles as Cora walks away. Later, Mike sees Ellie talking to Claudia.
I ought to make a move.
You've done your friend proud, Mr. Heyman.
He always was the clever one. Bit of a swat. And I was always getting into scrapes.
Well, you know what they say. Opposites attract.
It's ridiculous, really. But horses give me the most violent hay fever.
I have the exact same thing. But I have these wonderful allergy capsules.
If Claudia ever finds another husband, it'll probably be off a stud farm.
Don't be so unkind, Marjorie. Who knows what's round the corner?
Certainly not round the one that leads up to Gypsy's Acre.
Strange things have happened round that corner.
Well, there's always an explanation for everything.
I might cut those trees down, lighten it up a bit.
Can't go round cutting down our trees.
They're not your trees, Marjorie. Mr. Rogers can do what he wants.
Oh, I detest change. I always have. The Major was the same. That's why I married him.
So I imagine you don't like this house, then?
I certainly don't. It's far too modern. It looks like a furniture department.
This is Robbie Hen, Marjorie, the architect.
Robbie bows his head to a speechless Marjorie.
Splendid.
Embarrassed Marjorie turns and quickly follows a maid with more hors d'oeuvres.
I hear old Esther Lee's been making a nuisance of herself.
According to her, we're cursed.
A bit dotty, I think.
I expect she's quite harmless. I shouldn't have been so scared.
As bad as that?
Well, it's more of a threat than a warning.
Well, that does seem a bit odd. Not like her at all. You know, I feel quite responsible for old Esther.
Why's that?
She saved my brother's life.
Really?
Fished a little blighter out of a pond when he'd gone through the ice.
Mike crushes his glass in his hand.
It was nothing.
Let's take a look.
No, it's nothing. Fine.
Marple witnesses what's happening. Later that night after the party.
It was hearing about the doctor's brother, wasn't it?
That old gypsy managed to save him, but I didn't save Pete.
Mike leans on the balcony banister with Ellie beside him.
You tried your best. And Robbie knows you did.
Mike has a fixated expression. He shakes his head and looks down.
I couldn't get him out.
Help me! Mike, help me! Hold on to me!
Younger Mike tries to save Pete. As a younger Robbie stands watching on the frozen pond edge, Pete slips out of younger Mike's grip. His body sinks into the water. Daytime, Ellie and Cora in the lounge.
It's 18th century or 19th or something. Anyway, it's
I'd got what I wanted, but I hadn't counted on the mother-in-law. She'd seen a house that had taken her fancy about half an hour away. The thought of her coming around for a cup of sugar made me heave.
Wouldn't that be heaven?
Mike and Ellie wander in the woods.
We were still exploring our property, and one day, we discovered a folly hidden away in the woods.
They run up to the stone-built folly,
which we decided to do up ourselves.
I love it. Now all we need is for the path to be cleared.
Oh, no, no. That's our secret. Only we need know about that.
That is so romantic.
They kiss inside their candlelit folly, with the sun beaming through a painted stained glass window. Later, they walk away from the folly grounds. Looking back at Mike, Ellie trips over the root of a tree trunk.
Ellie!
At the house, Dr. Shaw checks Ellie's ankle with Greta and Mike.
Nothing to worry about. Just a sprain.
I'm so glad you came, Greta.
If you want me to stay, that is...
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but I'd love that.
I would like to stay.
Good.
Besides, Ellie is not very strong.
Medically qualified, are you, Miss Anderson?
She has a delicate constitution.
It's just a sprain.
I did not mean her ankle. There has been concern about her heart.
That was nothing.
You never told me.
If you'd like a checkup.
There's no need.
I think it's a good idea.
Ellie looks at Mike.
Are you on medication?
Only allergy pills. These.
Ellie fishes out a bottle of pills from her bag. She gives it to Dr. Shaw, who looks at it.
It shouldn't do you any harm.
He pours some out.
I also take sleeping pills.
No, that's not such a good idea. We'll take a look.
Mike takes Ellie's hand and kisses it. Ellie's reading a magazine. She suddenly stops.
A specialist in London.
Knows her,
Ellie means the world to me.
She means the world to me. That's why I married her.
Marple watches.
I will leave if that is what you want.
Please stop. Both of you, that's enough.
Darling, I'm sorry.
I didn't realize you hated each other so much.
We don't hate each other, darling. You know I am a little hot in the head.
And in our tempers like.
It is only because we care for you.
Then you must try to get along with one another.
Greta holds Ellie's outstretched hand.
I promise.
I'm so sorry to intrude.
Miss Marple.
I should have telephoned, I know, but I needed a little break.
Is everything all right?
Yes, yes. It's just that Marjorie has mislaid a brooch and it crossed her mind that she may have dropped it at your party.
I'm sure it would have showed up by now.
Yes.
I will look and get Winslow to look too.
Oh, I would be so grateful.
All four stand awkwardly in silence.
Would you like a drink?
No, 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 thank you. Marjorie will be chafing at the bit for her supper.
If we find the brooch.
Oh, that would be so kind. Thank you.
Marple nods her head and starts to make her way down the balcony stairs. Greta watches her leave.
Let's get you inside.
Ellie leans on Mike as she hobbles inside. Seeing her struggle, Mike carries her. Greta looks on as she smokes a cigarette. She looks over her shoulder to where Marple has gone. Nighttime. Mike is sound asleep in bed. Ellie lies awake and is restless. She looks over to Mike. She quietly sits herself up, pushes back the covers, and makes her way out of the bedroom. In the darkness, she makes her way over to a lamp and switches it on. She places a pill bottle by the lamp and takes a glass of water. She takes a pill and drinks as she walks towards a window, dressed in her nightgown. She sees Mrs. Lee's reflection and spins round. No one's behind her. The double doors to the lounge are wide open, yet it's empty. She turns back to the window and sees nothing there. Daytime. Two horse riders ride in the green fields alongside the woodland.
Ellie seemed unsettled. I was always happy to go riding with Claudia, or sometimes by herself.
Ellie wanders alone in the woods dressed in her riding outfit. She suddenly sees a hooded figure pass by amongst the trees. It quickly disappears. Back at the house.
I nearly ran someone over.
On that corner?
Yes, some old gypsy type. She was standing right in the middle of the road. It is a miracle I didn't hit her. She said we should all go back where we came from and shook her fist. Did you have a good ride?
Yes, thank you.
Have you seen her lately?
Ellie drinks her juice.
No.
Don't sound very sure.
She said, I've warned them before and I shan't warn them again. She said, it's death I see and their house will fall in ruins. Most impertinent.
You exaggerate.
It is what she said. Silly old fool.
Ellie's unnerved. Nighttime. A lamp is switched on. Again, Ellie is awake in her nightgown, drinking water, and looking out of the lounge window into the dark woodland. She very slowly turns around towards the double doors where she thought she had seen Mrs. Lee's reflection, but again sees nothing. She scans the room.
And it didn't end there.
Daytime. Ellie opens the front door and looks around. She notices something on the ground and crouches down to the front door carpet. She hesitantly reaches out for a note that's lying on top of a dead raven with a huge needle pierced through it. The note reads, "Get out of here if you know what's good for you." Ellie rises horrified and looks around her. Agatha Christie, Marple.
There's no mystery to river cruising. Viking River Cruises sponsors mystery dramas on ITV.
You ready for this?
No way.
What'd you do to your hair? You look like a lesbian.
She takes pills. Valium, Xanax.
She smuggled a bottle of Darvocet in her.
You want to search me?
No.
Our kid is trying to deal with this madhouse you dragged her into.
This madhouse is my home.
Think about that statement for a second.
August Osage County.
It's time to treat yourself at the Into Trafford Centre sale. Shop 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. this Monday.
Happiness is knowing your holiday is secured with only a £60 deposit, so you can splash out on the best part. It's packing those extra little luxuries with a huge 22-kilogram baggage allowance included. It's those amazing first impressions and checking out the view straight away. And with almost a million happy holidaymakers in 2013, happiness really is Jet2 Holidays. Package holidays you can trust at all protected.
When buying your next car, here's a thought. Don't just test drive your car, test drive your car dealer. Make sure you can say yes to cars that are quality checked by 8 different specialists. Yes to open and honest advice and being left to decide in your own time. And yes to market check prices every day of the year. At The Car People, we do all this and more. So before buying a car from anyone else, make sure you test drive us first. Start your test drive today. Visit thecarpeople.co.uk.
At Wickes, we understand construction. And we know how to design a kitchen exclusively for you. You can choose from 36 stunning kitchen styles in the Great Wickes sale on kitchen units. And now our sale prices have been reduced by an extra 10%. But hurry, offer ends 5th of January. It's got our name on it. Wickes.
Funny how life's all about numbers. And we all have our favourites.
I like my shower.
On 8.
Let's not worry about those numbers.
And me? I'm still a 12. I'm sure I'm still a 12. I'm not a 12, am I?
Bensons for Beds 1 to 5 bed firmness rating and unique comfort station make it easy to find a bed that's right for you.
Number 5. Perfect.
Right now in the Bensons for Beds half price sale, there's an extra £100 off selected beds and free credit on everything over £150.
Right now at Star Plan, there's 50% off plus a free bed with our fitted bedrooms, up to 3 years interest free and free fitting. Star Plan, your bedroom specialists.
The Harvey's 8-day sale is now on, with extra special savings on a huge range across the store. Hurry, sale ends 2nd of January. Harvey's, giving you more for less.
This is Now TV. This is the easy way to watch the latest shows you won't find on Freeview for just £4.99 a month with no contract. Watch 10 amazing live channels, including Sky Atlantic, Catch Up TV and box sets, so you can get up to speed with the shows, even whole series you're missing. Now available on LG Smart TVs and loads of other devices, like the Now TV box. Get 10 live channels plus loads of catch up for just £4.99 a month. This is Now TV. Go to nowtv.com/shows.
Volleyball.
You what?
It's not for tennis, it's volleyball. Not watch our team in the Olympics.
I know someone who did. 5 days you rang in sick to watch women's volleyball.
It's a shame a few more people aren't patriotic like me.
What does patriotic mean?
It means watching the telly with the curtains shut and the door locked.
Brand new Benidorm, Thursday at 9 on ITV.
There's no mystery to river cruising. Viking River Cruises sponsors mystery dramas on ITV.
Night. In town, Marple sees Mike.
Oh, Mr. Rogers.
Not now, Miss Marple.
What's happened?
If you must know, we're being hassled by that wretched gypsy woman.
Oh, Mrs. Lee?
Yes. Scaring the life out of Ellie. She's popping up all over the place. And this morning left a dead bird on the step with a threatening note attached. She's overstepped the mark this time.
But Mr. Rogers...
Please excuse me.
Marple watches Mike stomp away. A troubled and bewildered Marple is left on her own. Later, Marple makes her way onto the grounds of a cottage with a thatched roof. It is surrounded by trees and brambles. Marple crosses the front lawn and approaches the front door.
Mrs. Lee?
Mike's with a policeman.
It's not like Mrs. Lee to make threats. You know if anyone's got it in for you and your wife, Mr. Rogers?
I'd say that's most unlikely.
She has done something similar before. Give someone the evil eye, so to speak. And we find out someone paid her to do it. Anyway, I'll have a word.
Thank you, Sergeant.
When she gets back?
Gets back?
She goes on walkabout. It's a gypsy in her.
Marple enters a dimly lit room with a writing desk, a wooden armchair, and a small table with a teapot and cups on a tray. Marple feels the teapot. She calmly moves her hand away, but looks confused. She looks around the room and notices something on the armchair. Marple sets her bags down and goes to it. In a handbag, under a knitted garment, she finds a wad of banknotes rolled up and bound by a band. In the woodlands, Ellie is wandering alone along a cliff pathway by a quarry lake. She is wearing a blue coat with a V-neck jumper, the same one she wore in her nightmare. She carefully looks over the side of the cliff into the water. She stops herself from leaning over too far and composes herself. At the house...
A few days later, I got a note from my mother.
Mike tosses a letter to Ellie.
I'd sent her a large cheque to use as she wanted.
Mike opens the letter and immediately folds it.
It's from my man. Stubborn as they come.
Ellie opens the letter Mike folded. A cheque is also enclosed. The letter reads, I'll have nothing to do with this. You'll never change. God help you.
She does love you, though, even though she might not show it.
Mike slowly turns around to Ellie. He sees her fold the letter and place it back on the table.
You sound very certain.
Ignoring him, she opens a letter.
Ellie?
She guiltily looks up at him while he glares at her.
Now, Mike, don't get mad, but I went to see her.
What?
Just didn't seem right that we hadn't met.
Why didn't you tell me?
I was going to.
What did she say?
Nothing.
What did she say?
She said you're afraid of her.
Afraid?
Because she knows too much about you.
He looks away from her.
Well, that hit home, didn't it?
You should have told me!
Why are you so angry?
Because it's his fault! We should have secrets from each other!
Everybody has secrets, and you know it.
Ellie stomps out of the room. Later, she's seated on their bed with the horse figurine, missing its front legs. It was damaged on the table Mike hit in anger. Mike enters the room sorrowfully. Seeing the broken horse, he crouches down to Ellie and holds her hands as she holds the horse.
You're nice to me.
I'll fix that.
Ellie slightly nods but is still distressed. Seeing her so, Mike takes her hand.
Sorry. Didn't mean to lose my temper.
He looks at her expectantly.
Doesn't bother me. Not afraid of you.
Mike lowers his head and rubs his eyes. She tenderly strokes his face. He gazes into her eyes. Mike is now dressed in a suit with gel back hair and browsing at some small delicate ornaments and trinket boxes in a display cabinet.
I decided to buy Ellie a real classy birthday present.
Marple is in the background watching him amongst other visitors viewing antique items. He moves on and inspects a small floral painted chest of drawers with opening doors.
That's lovely, Michael.
It's Ellie's birthday next week. I want it to be a surprise.
Very good taste you have. She with her German friend?
No, she's out riding. Greta's gone to London for the day with Claudia Hardcastle. Actually, we're meeting for tea. Why don't you join us?
Oh, thank you. You think it's strange, though, don't you, Michael, that Mrs. Lee should leave a handbag if she was going away for a while? With money in it, too, and in an unlocked cottage. Marjorie says she never locks the door. I've told Sergeant Keane, and he said they'll keep an eye out.
Mike stares into space.
You look worried, Michael.
Oh, it's just Ellie. She seems to be running rather late. Probably because Greta's in London.
She's very dependent on Miss Anderson, isn't she?
Yeah, she relies on her for everything.
Marple stares at concerned Mike.
Would you mind if we went back? See what's going on?
No, no.
They leave the cafe. They're about to cross the street, but suddenly stop and see Claudia get into a green Jaguar. The door is held open by a tall man in a long coat.
That's Frank Stanford.
Wasn't that Claudia Hardcastle with him?
I think it was.
So she's not in London after all.
I thought you said they'd split up.
Well, they have. Perhaps they decided to get together again. I wonder why.
Has she got money?
Yes.
There's your answer.
In the woodlands, the wind is blowing fiercely.
Ellie!
She still hadn't turned up. So Winslow and a stable boy came with us to look for her.
Ellie!
Rogers! Ellie!
Mike vigilantly looks around him with his hands in his pockets.
Any sign?
Rogers! Ellie!
Ellie!
Rogers!
Marple sees a white horse standing alone behind a tree. A few feet away, lying on her back, is Ellie.
Oh my God! Hey! Ellie!
Ellie doesn't respond to Mike's kisses.
Get Dr. Shaw!
Winslow rushes off while Marple and Mike attend Ellie.
Ellie!
A while later, Ellie's body is covered over with a white sheet. Dr. Shaw looks on with the others.
All I can say is that she's been dead for 3 or 4 hours.
Was anything broken?
It doesn't seem to be. I'll have a better idea when I've made a complete examination.
Perhaps it was shock.
You don't die of shock.
Anyway, these questions will be addressed at the inquest.
It could have been that gypsy that frightened her. I was walking down the road this morning and I saw her.
You saw Mrs. Lee?
I think it was her. Where was she going?
Up the path into the woods. She could have scared the horse.
If it was her.
Mike watches Ellie's body being carried away on a stretcher.
My poor Ellie.
He inhales on a cigarette as he stares in shock.
Gone forever. Within a day or two, Andrew Lippincott had flown in.
She would want to be buried here at Gypsy's Acre.
I'm afraid that's out of the question. She needs to be laid to rest with her forebears. We can, however, arrange for the funeral to be held while you're in America dealing with the estate. I presume you are aware that Ellie made you the principal beneficiary.
Didn't even know she made a will.
Oh, yes. Just after you were married. I can arrange for a reputable lawyer to safeguard your interests. With a fortune like yours, you're going to need the best advice. Mr. Rogers, you should trust nobody.
Mike turns to look at Lippincott.
The inquest seemed unreal.
Death, I would say, was...
Dr. Shaw's evidence was inconclusive.
Did you detect any specific organic injury that might have explained her death?
No. It's my belief she died from heart failure, caused by shock.
Greta, who'd been in a terrible state when she heard what had happened, was more insistent about Ellie's heart condition.
She had a heart problem 3 or 4 years ago.
Do you know what sort of heart problem it was, Miss Anderson?
No. But her family always stressed that she should not overdo things.
And he called me.
Did Mrs. Lee ever threaten your wife?
Mike anxiously rubs his hands.
In a sense, yes. I never really thought she meant it.
Did you hold any particular grudge against her?
My wife thought so, but she couldn't see why. She believed our land belonged to her or a tribe, whatever they call themselves.
Was she ever violent?
No. She just banged on about putting a curse on us.
Did she ever mention the word death?
I think she did. We didn't take her seriously, at least I didn't.
And your wife?
Mike closes his eyes.
Well, the old woman could be rather alarming.
Where is Mrs. Lee?
No one knows, sir. She hasn't been seen for several weeks.
Does she not leave an address?
She often goes off without telling anybody.
So you couldn't have seen her the morning of Mrs. Rogers' death?
Maybe she popped back for the day.
Then the coroner adjourned proceedings until they'd tracked her down. Do you think she's come back for the day?
I suppose it's possible. Gypsies do go hither and thither.
What if she planned to come back? What if she'd had a motive?
A motive?
Yeah. What if someone was paying her to frighten Ellie?
Marple looks concerned.
I think that's a little dramatic, Michael. Where did you get that idea?
Sergeant King. He said it had happened once before.
Good heavens. Well, I did find all that money in her cottage, but even so, to deliberately cause an accident.
If this person wanted to get rid of us, then there must be some reason for wanting the land to go back on the market.
You don't know who.
Mike searches his pocket.
This came through the window this morning.
He places on the table a stone with a note wrapped around it. Marple opens it up and reads it.
It was a woman who killed your wife.
Mike lowers his head. Later at the police station.
I think she's gone to Earth because she knows we're looking for her.
And if someone's paying her, she'd be anxious to keep away.
Well, someone else would be anxious too. This has all got a bit out of hand.
So when Mrs. Lee is found...
Well, she'd spill the beans. Someone wouldn't like that, and they'd have to silence her pretty quickly.
Mike stares intently.
Are you saying Mrs. Lee might have been killed?
Wandering alone in the woods is Marple, dressed in a long grey coat, a blue felt hat, and carrying a cane. She suddenly notices something amongst the trees. It's the folly that Mike and Ellie discovered. She tramples up to the folly. It has a hollowed gothic windowed wall towering to the skies with a small roofed attachment. Guarding its entrance is a metal gate with an intertwined design.
Hello?
She opens the gate. She enters the room with the stained glass window and rests her cane. She takes a look around. The sunlight shines through the window and throws its light onto a sofa covered with a blanket and a small record player. Marple notices a whiskey glass on a nearby table and picks it up. It has a lipstick stain around the rim. Placing the glass back, she then sits in an armchair. She wriggles around uncomfortably, as if she sat on something. She searches underneath her and finds a cigarette lighter with the letter C on it, shaped with embedded jewels. She then rises and bends over to observe the record player. Still wandering around, she notices that she's standing on something. She sits on the sofa to retrieve it from the bottom of her shoe. It's a small red pill. Greta enters.
Can I help you?
Oh, Miss Anderson, I am just getting my breath back.
How did you know about this place?
Well, poor Ellie mentioned something about it.
Did she know?
This is quite a walk, isn't it?
You shouldn't be wandering the woods alone, Miss Marple.
Well, I must detain you. Oh, no.
Greta doesn't take her eyes away from Marple.
Goodbye then, Miss Anderson.
Marple turns and leaves, leaving Greta perplexed. Mike gets out a cigarette and begins to walk away from the police station. Coming towards him around the corner is Claudia. They both stop.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mike, about your loss.
Yes.
I hear you're off to America quite soon.
Who told you that?
I simply presumed you would be. Anyway, there was something I wanted to ask you. It's just that if you're putting the house on the market, I'd rather like first refusal. I'm prepared to pay.
I shan't be selling, Claudia, not at any price.
He walks past her. Claudia begins to leave.
You're married, weren't you?
She turns to him.
Yes?
To Frank Stanford.
She walks away, slightly looking back at Mike. Greenwood Cemetery, New York. A small group of mourners are gathered by a coffin with an arrangement of flowers on top.
Grant this mercy, O Lord, we beseech thee, for thy servant departed, that she may not receive in punishment the requital of her deeds, who in desire did keep thy will.
And as the true faith... In New York, I was out of my depth and couldn't wait to get back home. The Ellie I had known had flown, returned to her own kind.
For the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Drawing near to the coffin, wearing a pair of black leather gloves, a white shirt, a black tie and coat, Mike somberly places a single red rose on the coffin.
Go back where you belong, Ellie.
A blonde, wavy-haired lady in her 40s dressed in black approaches Mike.
My condolences.
She looks to the coffin.
Thanks.
You must be very pleased with yourself. You've taken everything. And now my little girl. Well done.
She was never your little girl. Then it transpired that Stanford had given me some bad advice. Frank Stanford advised me to get rid of some mining properties because the title deeds were dodgy. So I checked with the lawyer. There's nothing wrong with it. I suspect he's a crook.
I suspect you're right.
Would you be willing to accept power of attorney?
As far as financial matters are concerned, you can trust me absolutely. Will you continue to live at Gypsy's Acre?
Yes.
A large house, for one.
I still employ Winslow, as you know. Greta's still there.
Yes. Greta.
I don't know how I'd have coped without her.
I sent you a letter.
Well, I look forward to reading it. Thanks for your help.
You have nothing to thank me for. By the way, do you know Claudia Hardcastle?
A little. Why?
She's dead. She was thrown from her horse a day or two ago. Bon voyage.
Lippincott leaves Mike frozen on the spot. Robbie's convertible zooms along a windy road. Marple walks along the cliff path Ellie walked along by the quarry lake. Robbie still drives fast. Marple looks over the edge at the depth of the cliffside. The river water ripples slightly. She looks around apprehensively. As Robbie continues speeding down the road, he coughs and looks very anxious. Marple sees something. She takes her cane and starts digging away at the weeds and twigs along the side of the cliff. She finds Mrs. Lee's headscarf. Robbie speeds up along the tarmac road going through the woodlands and looks even more anxious. Greta answers the house door. It's Robbie.
I want to see Mike.
You look terrible.
Where is he?
He won't be back until this evening.
It's too late. I have to go to hospital. I need to see him.
There's nothing I can do.
God.
Is there a message I can pass on to him?
No, I don't think there is.
The thing is, Mr. Heyman, I have to go out.
I could come in, write him a note.
But there's no one here.
I won't get another chance. You can trust me. We're old friends.
Greta stares at him.
There's a desk in the study. It is up the stairs.
I know. I designed it.
Still coughing, Robbie makes his way upstairs. Watching him go up, Greta leaves the house. Robbie enters a room with a huge desk lit by a lamp. Behind it along the wall are a line of framed photos. He picks up a black and white photo of a young football team that Mike had on his desk as a boy. Robbie opens up a writing paper pad and starts to write with a fountain pen. There's no ink. He scribbles on the paper, but still no ink comes out. Disappointed, Robbie looks around on the desk. He then searches through drawers. After opening a couple of drawers, he comes across a golden watch. He picks it up and observes it carefully. Robbie slowly takes off his glasses and places them on the desk. At the quarry lake, two men pull out a body from the water. Marple and the sergeant look on. It's Mrs. Lee. The sun sets and Mike is walking through the woods, holding a suitcase.
I'd arrived by train to avoid seeing anyone.
He's wearing a long tartan pattern coat and looks pale and tired. As he continues walking, he suddenly stops. In the distance, he sees Ellie wrapped in her red coat staring at him. She turns her head slowly out to the fields. She then disappears.
It was probably because I was dog tired.
In a state of shock, he carries on walking and eventually arrives outside the house.
I'd get Winslow to pour me a large drink and have an early night. There was something I had to do first.
Through the mist and the light of the setting sun, Mike makes his way into the folly. A female silhouette stands by the stained glass window. It's Greta.
For all time's sake, darling.
She approaches him and wraps her arms around his neck. They kiss.
Now we have the money to go anywhere and have adventures. Wouldn't you like that, darling?
Later, as the couple continue to kiss, Greta withdraws.
What's the matter?
I saw Ellie walking up the road just now. I think I saw her.
Didn't they put her in a coffin?
The point is, she didn't see me.
That's because she wasn't there.
It was like I wasn't there. Greta, I wasn't there.
This is stupid talk.
I could have been happy, you know. Married her.
Greta stares at Mike. She then rises by pushing herself up from the sofa with a wine glass in her hand.
I know what this is.
She sets down her glass.
Those monsters in America. They have been getting into your brain. That is how they work.
She slips on a dark satin nightgown.
This came for you.
She gives him a letter.
Lippincott's writing, dripping poison, no doubt.
He opens the envelope and takes out a newspaper cutting of a woman's photo with Greta and Mike behind.
It's a cutting from a Hamburg newspaper.
And the old fox knew all along.
Not necessarily. Someone probably sent him this because they recognized me.
When he knows we're going to be married, I'll suspect.
Mike, you are panicking.
No, he will. He's wily. He knows, and I wouldn't be surprised if Winslow's in on it too. I saw him at the window on my way over here.
But you couldn't have. I let him go yesterday.
Mike turns and stares seriously at her.
And who was it?
A trick of the light.
As Greta goes to stroke his hair, Mike leans away.
Something's wrong, Greta. We're not safe.
Greta stares at him.
You're not safe.
Last night, at the house...
Michael? Miss Anderson?
Marple makes her way up the windy staircase and follows a dim light coming from upstairs. She reaches the landing and searches around.
Mr. Winslow?
She enters the lounge.
Mr. Winslow?
She spins round.
Michael?
Miss Marple?
Welcome home.
I thought we had an intruder, but I false alarm. You seem to have a knack, don't you, of turning up in the right place at the wrong time?
If this is inconvenient.
How can I help you?
Well, I thought you might be interested to hear that they've found Mrs. Lee.
She's certainly given us the runaround.
She's dead, Michael. They found her in the quarry.
It's pretty grim, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In the office, Robbie is eavesdropping.
Anything else, Miss Marple? I'm quite tired after my journey. To be honest, I'm quite tired altogether.
Mike sits and swigs a glass of whiskey.
Getting married, you know.
So soon.
No point hanging around. To Greta.
Well, I hardly know her, of course, but in a way that strikes me as rather a good match.
What way would that be, Miss Marple?
Both restless, living your lives on the very edge of wealth, most tantalizing, I should imagine. When did you first meet her?
Mike looks at Marple.
Europe, was it? Chauffeuring your elderly clients around?
In Hamburg, yes.
A meeting of minds. How lovely. She must have been like a breath of fresh air. Young, beautiful.
Oh, you can say that again.
And not a moral between you.
Mike gives an empty expression.
I misjudged you, Michael, for a little while, anyway. But then you are quite a charmer.
So they say.
Mike drinks again.
Whose idea was it?
Don't know what you're talking about.
No, I think you do. To make Ellie fall in love with you?
Do you know something, Miss Marple? You disappoint me. You're just like any other old spinster, aren't you? You can't keep your nose out.
And then kill her? For her money?
The problem is, Miss Marple, you're far too easy to talk to. Just like Greta.
I can put you in the way of marrying one of the richest girls in the world. I look after her, her bosom buddy. Play it right and she will go mad for you.
Mike and Greta kiss as they lie in bed.
I told her about this place. She thought it'd be the perfect setting. She arranged that I'd see Ellie on the road, as if by accident. Greta was a great planner. But something was niggling me.
Mike and Greta in the bathroom.
It's not enough. I don't want to be kept.
Wives do die, you know. You are not shocked. I knew you wouldn't be.
Ellie was so sweet. If I'd tried, if I'd really tried, I could have loved her.
Robbie still listens with a serious, motionless expression.
But you killed her, didn't you, Michael? Her allergy capsule. You filled it with cyanide. And made sure she took it the morning she died.
Mike inhales on his cigarette.
How do you know that?
I worked it out when Claudia died. Marjorie and I were walking on the downs and found her. Cyanide. I can smell it.
Claudia's dead eyes are open.
You didn't mean her to die, but she'd got hold of one of the allergy capsules. It was in the folly, wasn't it, that you and Greta prepared them, split them in two, and filled them with poison?
The pill Marple found in the folly.
And Claudia, as Ellie's friend, went there because she dropped her lighter.
It's ridiculous, really, but horses give me the most violent avia.
Saw the capsules, recognized them as perfectly innocent allergy medication, and helped herself for the next time she went riding. If Claudia's body had lain in the open for too long, as Ellie's did, there would have been nothing to smell.
Filling those capsules was tricky business. I thought we were so clever.
But not clever enough.
Ellie means the world to me.
She means the world to me. That's why I married
her. And that
her.
Row that you and Greta had.
I will leave.
It was a sham, wasn't it? I thought perhaps that it was staged in order to deflect from the fact that you were having an affair.
Mike looks away and smirks.
I didn't know you had murder in mind. And the capsule and the lighter and poor Claudia's death. I was as certain as I could be. Did you kill Mrs. Lee, Michael?
You tell me.
Robbie still listens.
From what I've heard, I don't think she would ever have frightened Ellie without a little sweetener. And if Ellie was frightened, then when you killed her, it would seem more feasible that she died of shock. But when Mrs. Lee realized what a dangerous man you were, she became frightened for Ellie.
And took the cash while warning Ellie to have nothing to do with me. I couldn't have that now, could I?
Daytime. Along a woodland path, Mike and Mrs. Lee physically fight. Her headscarf falls on the cliff edge. Mike strikes Mrs. Lee with a stone. She falls into the quarry lake.
So Greta stood in for her. A couple of times. Wasn't it difficult? Ellie was so suggestible by then.
How could you say you could ever have loved that poor girl? And all the time you were planning to kill her.
It gets you after a while. Trains the life out of you.
You know every trick in the book, don't you? But the path you take, Michael, is down to you. Where is Greta, by the way?
Robbie Robbie enters.
Robbie, I thought you were in London.
We'd always presumed it came off in the struggle.
What?
Dropped to the bottom and sank into the mud.
What are you going on about?
This afternoon.
You look terrible.
I found it. In a drawer.
You're not making any sense, Robbie.
Robbie holds up the gold watch.
This.
Mike looks at it.
Pete's watch. What the hell are you doing with it?
Mike uncomfortably runs his hand down the back of his head.
You took it, didn't you? When he was drowning.
No.
He was never without it. You must have done.
That's not true. It's not true.
Why on earth would you steal it when you were trying to save him?
But you weren't, were you, Michael?
At the frozen pond with the boys.
What's that time? I got you.
What are you doing?
Mike takes Pete's watch and holds his head underwater.
That's why you broke your glass at the party and Dr. Shaw mentioned his brother. The memory was too much to bear.
You never meant to save him, did you?
Weak Robbie has tear-filled eyes.
Did you?
Mike gives Robbie a sinister look.
You killed my little brother for a wristwatch. All this, one big lie. And I thought that you were truly my friend.
Mike stares at Robbie blankly.
Let me get you a doctor.
I always thought, in spite of everything, that there might be a glimmer. Just a glimmer of light.
After staring at Robbie, Mike looks away from him.
Now it's too late.
Mike looks to Robbie. He then turns around to see Marple gone. In panic, he runs away to find her. A distraught Robbie watches Mike run out. His sorrowful expression then turns into a scowl. Marple rushes through the dark woodlands. She makes her way into the folly. She finds Greta dead on the sofa with her eyes wide open. Marple sadly approaches her and shuts Greta's eyes.
Marple!
Running, Mike meanders around the trees. Anxious, Marple paces in the folly room. Mike rushes in.
Greta was a great planner. That's what you said.
Slip of the tongue.
Why, Michael? Why?
You get a taste for it.
A calm yet determined Mike strangles a struggling and petrified Greta.
Every morn and every night.
Some are born to endless night. Oh, that gypsy. It nerved, didn't she?
Mike leans against the wall.
I expect you told Greta you loved her, too.
Mike kisses deceased Greta's forehead.
The tragedy is, Michael, you don't know how.
You're just like my mum. So you know everything about me, don't you? But you don't.
Mike stares at Marple.
Why was she never proud of me just once?
Marple has welled up eyes as she looks at Mike.
Why she looks at me with those cold, cold eyes. Mothers are the devil. She means nothing to me. You mean nothing to me.
Marple's expression turns to fear.
So what am I going to do with you?
He approaches her.
Hi.
He grabs her.
You seem to have an answer for everything.
Look, I know what you'd like to do, Michael, but you won't, will you? Because if you kill me, it would be like killing her, like killing your own mother.
Frozen Mike stares at her. Mike turns and sees a fire glow outside. He runs out of the folly and follows the light from the fire. Close behind him is Marple. With the fire glow reflected on his face, Mike suddenly stops running. Huge blazing fires burn from the house. Robbie comes to the balcony.
This is for you, Mike! It's all for you!
With the fires rapidly getting bigger, Robbie goes into the burning house. An explosion causes Mike to flinch and Marple to cover her face. As the house continues to burn, Mike is numb and expressionless as he watches. Marple looks on bewildered. By the light of a lamp, Mike sits at a desk with a pen in one hand and the other propping his head up. Behind him are windows with bars. In front of him is some paper. He starts to write.
In my end is my beginning. That's what they say, isn't it? My end. My beginning.
Audio description by Deluxe.